together unless they're looking at the same thing, unless they have the same vision. So God has a vision for your life, and you have a vision for your life. But you will be walking in sand until you figure out you and God have to have the same vision. Because God can't bless your vision when God's trying to take you a different direction. So I was started out in college, and I determined I'm going to be an architect. I'm good at math. I'm good at science. I'm going to be an architect. I like looking at buildings. I'm going to be an architect. What else do I need? So I set out on the course to become an architect. Except somewhere along the line, being an architect wasn't in my heart. So it's in my mind, and I'm ready to do it, but that's not what God was authoring for my life, so God didn't give me a heart for that. So I'm not designed. While I'm designed with the skills for it, I'm not designed with the heart for it. And so what happens is I start doing it, and then I run out of gas. I start doing it, and I get distracted. Something else is calling my name. I get into it, and I just, okay, whatever. Oh, yeah, let me go do this over here. I can't be focused because while I have the skills, my heart is not there. See, God is authoring something. And God doesn't release a heart to us or a compassion or a desire for things unless he is in charge of it. But the problem is if you start to chase your passion, sometimes you don't have the ability to discern what is a interest and what is truly a passion. That's why two people meet each other and they say, oh, we love each other. We have a passion for each other. And then 2 years later, I can't stand that joker. Why? Because it was here. And when I say here, I'm talking about your feelings are here too. We say our feelings in our heart, but that's not, your feelings ain't in your heart. Your feelings are in your head. But I feel like I love them. That's fine. But there may be more to it than that. Has God given us the heart for certain things? The Bible says if you delight yourself in the Lord, he would give you the desires of your heart. But you sometimes got to figure out what the desires are. Because the world system tries to cloud what your desires are. The world system tries to communicate to you what you ought to desire. And so sometimes we desire things because we've been programmed to think that's what I desire. So I wanted this car one time. I said, oh man, I want this car. I'm getting this car. Lord, I'm using my faith to get this car. And this car, specific car, this is the car I want. I want it black on black, and it's got to have this. You know, I got all these requirements. And number one, I couldn't afford it. Number two, I didn't have no business driving it. Didn't have a garage to park it in. But it's my desire, so I'm going to give it, right? But it wasn't really my desire. So I began praying. I said, Lord, your word says that if I delight myself in you, you would grant me the desires of my heart. And I keep on praying. Every night I'm praying. And then this is my desire. And I keep saying what my desire is, right? Lord, you said in your word that if I delight myself in you, you would grant me the desires of my heart. But now I know that you're going to do that. So I'm going to pray for these other things. Now I'm praying, interceding for other people because I'm not selfish. I'm going to pray what God wants me to pray, right? I know what I want for myself, but you said that. So I'm going to pray for everything else. So I'm praying for people and I'm praying for things. I'm praying for nations and I'm praying the prayer, all these prayers. And I'll come back and say, now, Lord, I pray for everything else. I delighted myself in you. So now here's my desire. And so night after night after night, I'm praying that prayer. And I pray for myself and then I pray for everything else. I'm sincere. I'm for real. I'm committed. Praying every day. And then one day, all of a sudden, I went to think about that thing, and the Lord changed the picture. And I saw something different. And when I saw something different, I realized, wait a minute. I've been hoodwinked. I didn't want that thing. That's what that thing was representing, something that said who I'm trying to be. That's not what I really wanted. So God dropped a picture of what was really in my spirit, what I really wanted. And I said, oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Within 3 days, I was in that thing. Why? Because when God reveals to you who you really are and what's really in your spirit, he will back up and bless you. But we are not yet aligned in agreement with him. We are still pursuing a lot of things that the enemy has put in our minds. And you know what? The Lord says, he says, hey, listen, you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to get your mind renewed because you don't know it, but you're carrying around old calves from Egypt. See, the children of Israel got led out of the desert. Excuse me, they got led out of bondage. They were slaved by the Egyptians for 400 years. They were slaves. And because they were slaves, when God set them free and took them out and said, I'm going to take you to the promised land, they're out wandering around trying to go where God calls them to go. And Moses says, the Lord told me to go up on this mountain and I'm going to come back in a little while. Moses is gone for 40 days. And they say, this Moses, he led us out here. And now we don't know what's become of this man. So Aaron, you're second in charge. Make us a calf for us to worship. And we're going to take all the gold out of our ears. And we're going to give you all the gold we have. You just create us a God that we can worship like they had back in Egypt where we came from. And so they created a calf, a golden calf. And they began worshiping the calf. And Moses came back. He said, what are these people doing? God has led you out of Egypt, led you out of bondage, and you created a calf the same as you got brought out of bondage with? See, the people didn't understand they had an image that was placed in them. And that image was still talking to them even though they were free. It was still the image of slavery, still speaking from the inside of them, telling them what they need to have, telling them what they want. And so as a believer now, I keep recognizing, I will do things and realize, man, that's that old slave talking in there. That's that slave talking to me. That's not me. That's what I've been programmed to believe about myself. So when I say, Lord tells me to do something, I don't know if I can do that. That's that slave talking. That's why I made Carolyn stand up in here and say, why you have a passion, because that's that old slave saying, I just want to be in the background. No, you don't. You want to lead because God gave you a vision. So you got to lead where God gave you a vision to lead. You can't stay in the back. She's looking at me. If God gives you a vision, and God tells you to do something, and you say, Lord, I just want to be in the background, you are not agreeing with God. You just stepped back when God said, go forward. And so the children of Israel ended up roaming around for 40 years because the 40-day trip they backed away from. Why? Because they still had slave mind. Now, this is what God told him to do. He said, now, I want you to go 3 days into the wilderness and bring me an offering. We slaves, well, we don't have nothing to offer. I don't care. Go 3 days into the wilderness and bring me an offering. Lord, we're slaves. We don't have anything to offer. Well, God wasn't taking excuses. Now, why am I pointing this out? Because God has called his church to manifest themselves before the world, but sometimes we don't think we have anything to offer. Sometimes we believe that we don't have anything to offer the world. Sometimes we believe that we don't have gifts, we don't have talents, we don't have anything that the world wants or needs. And so we back away from being what we're called to be. But you know what? God had to teach me. I only need the vessel. I'll bring the stuff. I'll bring the anointing. If you give me the body, I'll bring the rest of the stuff. But too many times, Christians, we are still in that position where we're evaluating our performance and we're not evaluating whether God called us. So last week, we talked about the four levels of faith. We talked about the first level of faith was displayed when the children of when a bunch of people followed Jesus into the wilderness to listen to him preach. And he says, they've been out here a long time, let's feed them. and they just kept listening to Jesus. They did not go try to get some food. They made the assumption by faith that I'm listening to Jesus, he's going to bless me. Because why do I know that? Because earlier in the passage in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus had just come out. John the Baptist had been beheaded, and Jesus came out and began healing people and working miracles. And then these people followed him into the wilderness after knowing he was doing that. They followed him into the wilderness believing in him. So the first level of faith is that we believe on him. Reason we're at church on Sunday right now, because we believe on him. We got the first level of faith down. Amen? The second level of faith was the disciples who told Jesus when Jesus said, listen, we're going to feed these people. They said, Jesus, we would need a whole lot of food to feed these people. And Jesus' response was, you feed them. What do you mean we're supposed to feed them? So now, the second level of faith is that you have to have faith to serve other people. You have to have faith to in what God has given you can be multiplied, transformed, made into whatever it needs to be in order for you to bless somebody else. It's taking your eyes off of you and starting to see, you know what? I'm going to let God work through me. If Jesus told me, and then I will step into this, I'll be able to bless somebody. And so those disciples, Jesus didn't hand the food out to the people. He gave it to the disciples and made them go give it to the people. Why? Because he wanted them to see the miracle work through their hands. And so we always say, Jesus fed the 5,000. Actually, the disciples fed the 5,000. He told them, you feed them. I'm going to bless this bread. I'm going to hand it to you. Now you go give it to the people. But we miss that. And we say, Jesus fed the 5,000. No, the disciples fed the 5,000. 12 disciples with 5 loaves and 2 fish fed 5,000 people. And then 2 chapters later, he made them do it again. It was 4,000 people with 7 loaves the second time. And then one day Jesus says, listen, don't get into the leaven of the Pharisees. And they said, Jesus, we didn't bring any bread. He said, are you still worried about bread? Weren't you paying attention with the 5,000 and the 7,000? I'm not talking about the bread. So sometimes God is working through us and we can have miracles come through our hands and not even look back and realize Jesus didn't just do it. He did it through you. How many people have you prayed for and they got a blessing and you kept on walking, didn't think about it, and the next time a person comes to you and says, well, I don't know if I can pray. You prayed for someone and they got blessed. Are you thinking about that? Have you so quickly forgotten the 5,000 and the 7,000? Have we so quickly forgotten about that that we're not ready to step into whatever God has next? Man, y'all, if I could see, if I wish I had a camera, I could look and pan and see how y'all looking at me right now. Yeah, y'all hear what I'm saying? Agreement. We're agreeing with God. We're trying to get an agreement and alignment with God. But the hindrance to a person being agreed and aligned with God is your sin nature, which is the nature that Satan manipulated Adam and Eve to fall into, which was, has God really said that about you? It's the same old trick. It's so stale and old, it's the same old trick that Satan, thousands of years later, is trying the same thing on Jesus. Has God indeed said that you... So he's going to say the same thing you do. Did God really say you're a prophet? God really say you're anointed? Did God really say you're gifted? Did God really say this about you? Did God really say you can lay hands on the sick? Did God really say that you have a gift to teach? Did God really say that you can sing? Did God really say that about you? And you better be ready to answer the question. Because if you don't answer it, you're going to back away. And Satan will say, mission accomplished. Who's next? Satan doesn't even have to fight a church that won't stand up. Lord have mercy. Is this a Selah moment? Because it's really, really quiet in here right now. Lord have mercy, it's quiet up in here. Woo, Jesus. Okay, agreement requires a purpose, a common vision. It requires timing. There has to be the same timing. We have to be on the same time. In other words, the disciples, when Jesus is crucified, in Acts chapter 1, the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost had fully come. In other words, there was a time for them to do something else. There was a time for them to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. So there had to first be a vision that he said, go wait till you get power. And then the day of Pentecost, the timing fully comes. And when the timing came, then they stepped out and they did mighty things for God. So there's both the vision and there's timing. The third thing is there has to be a source of truth. The source of truth for us is the word. When Satan is coming at Jesus, Jesus' response was, it is written. His simple response was, this is what the Bible says. This is what the word says. I'm not going to argue with you, devil. This is what the word says. That was the simple answer to him. And fourth is, there has to be a commitment to action. So once we're agreed, we have to be willing to walk out. Do we have to do? So we're talking about the four levels of faith. The first one was, again, believing God for our own needs. The second one was then believing God for meeting other people's needs. The third was Peter being willing to step out of the boat at the calling of Jesus. So there's a storm. They fed the 5,000. Jesus tells the disciples to get in a boat. A storm breaks out. The waves are going. Everything is going. Now, the storm only has one purpose. I'm going to tell you in a second. But this storm is going, and the disciples look out and see what looks like a ghost walking on water. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, it's me. And Peter responds, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out. So Peter climbs out of the boat. We said last week, he didn't just step down. There's a big enough boat. There's 12 a minute. He had to climb out of the boat. He had to deliberately. He didn't just slip into the water. He had to climb out, deliberately get out into position, and then walk on the water. And so he walks on the water, and Jesus looks at him, and then he starts hearing the storm and starts to sink and cries out, Lord, help me. And Jesus comes and chastises him, not for walking on the water, but for saying, why did you doubt? What did you doubt? You did everything right. And like we said last week, when God calls us out, he is not calling us out to destroy us. Otherwise, Jesus would have let him sink. But it says that Jesus reached out and grabbed his hand and pulled him up. And then they got back in the boat and the storm ceased. The storm had a purpose. The purpose was to get Peter in the mindset, in the position that I don't care. If Jesus tells me to do it, I'll do it. The third level of faith is without fear. If you know God told you to do something, I don't care. I will just step out of the boat. I don't care. Now that seems like that's too big. I'm not trying to, don't worry about that level of faith. If you still believe in God for what you need, believe God for what you need. That's why he said, give us this day our daily bread. You're supposed to be at a level where you believe God for what you need. That's no shame in that. You better believe God for what you need. And then when he calls you to something else, you step into something else. But you believe God where you are. The fourth level of faith is this. You're in John chapter 15. Flip over to John 14 real quick. John chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask what? Anything in my name, I will do it. First level of faith, believe in God for what you need. Second level of faith, believe in God to bless other people. Third level of faith, unabandoned, stepping out into the water, whatever it is on command. The fourth level of faith is to do the works that Jesus did. The church has got to get to the point where we can believe God to do what Jesus did, because that's when we will manifest and reveal ourselves to the world. Now, here's the problem. You can't go there without abiding in Him. You can't get to that level of faith without abiding in Him. Like I said, when it comes to the first two levels of faith, we can fake it. And I don't mean this offensively to anybody. I'm just saying that I faked myself out in a lot of things. I faked myself out saying I'm believing God for stuff, and then I didn't believe God because I went and got the credit. I'm telling you what I did. I'm not telling nobody else. I'm telling me. Now, what I mean by that? I'm saying that the Holy Spirit told me to do something for my children's education. And so I did it halfway. So then when it came time, I said, okay, let's put out the financial aid package, send it out there, it comes back. Ooh, man, I'm not qualified for the aid here. Man, it's a big old bill here. What am I going to do? Science, I'll just get this one student loan. It ain't going to be no big deal. But there's another semester coming, brother. So, okay, no big deal, no big deal, no big deal, no big deal, no big deal. Tens of thousands of dollars later, it's a big deal. Now you have to deal with that. Did I walk by faith? Well, yes, to a degree. Is there more that God wanted to show me? Yeah, there was more that God wanted to show me. So then, take me three kids in. I made a declaration standing in this. I said, I'm not borrowing not one more dollar. Why? Because all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit finally broke through. And so I had to kind of make that declaration out of my mouth. Because why? Because your agreement with God is represented by your faith, and your faith is represented by what comes out of your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart is what your mouth is going to say. So all of a sudden, I had to say it finally, I'm not borrowing another dollar. And then once I said, oh man, why'd I say that? Because the semester's coming. I was talking bad in the summertime, but man, the semester, fall is coming, man. So I took the stand. And praise God, He met the needs. He miraculously met the needs. He miraculously stepped in, but He couldn't step in until I got aligned and said with my mouth what He said. See, you can't say, God, I want you to bless me, and then not stand on it. You got to stand where He said to stand and be in agreement so that you can get what heaven wants to have you for, because you can't be what heaven is on earth if you're not standing where it comes down. You calling, Lord, here I am. Here am I, Lord. Bless me. And then you done walked off over here. Boom, here the blessing sitting right there, and you see you and wandered off somewhere. Why? Because we have to be ready to walk in blessing. Your faith is a measure of your agreement with God. What you believe measures your agreement. Now, here's what the word says. Romans chapter 8. There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So nobody should ever leave condemned. Nobody should ever feel condemned. Man, I messed up. I did that. God's saying, no, you don't worry about it. You don't go back. You don't rewind the tape. You step from here. You find out where you are right now. And you say, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, can I agree with what you said about me? Where can I get into your word? Where can I get into agreement in what you said? Now, you might be closer to agreement in certain areas of your life. There's five different areas for you to grow in. You can grow in your relationship with God. You can grow in your relationships with people. You can grow in exercising your gifts and talents, in managing your resources, and in your health and your body. You can be matured in any of those areas. Now, if you're struggling in your body, don't worry about that. Just say, okay, Father, let me find out what your word says. How do I get my body aligned with you? Now, you may have some work to do. What might the work be? The work might be that maybe I'm in a certain condition because out of ignorance, I did something to my body. And so I got to let God work that out. But I got to stand on his word and get in agreement with his word to let it work in my body. Maybe my finances are out of whack, but you know what? Don't be mad about it. Don't be defeated. Say, Lord, thank you. What does your word say about my money? What does your word say about my financial situation? What does your word say? And then go to the word and find out what the word says about it. Because you know what? God says this. He said, I know the plans I have for you. I got plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. But all my plans won't do any good if we're not in agreement. All right, I had you John 14. Let's go to John 15, and we're gonna close out with something real quick. Now, this was good stuff. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. What does it mean to be in his name? What does it mean to be in his name? Whatever you ask in my name. In other words, whatever you ask in the character that I have, and whatever you ask that's aligned with me, if you ask what I would ask, you're going to have it. Well, what do I have? Why do I want to ask what Jesus has? Because he knows what's in your heart. That's why when I was minding my own business and I'm trying to pray for this Porsche 911 Carrera, yes, that's what I was praying about. So I'm praying for this Porsche 911 Carrera because I got faith and I'm delighting myself in the Lord, and he's going to grant me the desire. I got confidence in his word. What he said is true. He has saved me, and I believe God. If God can save me, then surely he can get this car in my driveway. I had the faith, but the problem is I prayed the prayer out of my mouth, Lord, I'm going to delight myself in you, and I believe you will give me the desires of my heart. And I kept praying that prayer, and I kept saying that word, and I kept speaking that word, and I kept speaking that word. And Jesus is so kind that he did not send me a Porsche 911 Carrera. He looked in my heart and saw what was really there. And then he revealed my heart to me. And once he revealed my heart to me, then in 3 days, I had it. But he had to go through the process of getting me aligned and revealing what's in my heart, what's in my spirit. And so what I'm message very simply is this to you today, because I'm so off track with what I was intending to preach about today. So I'm going to believe that this is for our hearts here today. But what I want to tell you is this, that word is true. If we delight ourselves in the Lord and we keep coming back to the Lord and expressing that we delight ourselves in him, if we can continue to delight ourselves in him, then what he will do is he will reveal to you what's really in your heart. That separate from the filter than all the commercials that programmed into us, and separate us from the filters that all the people have kind of spoken into our lives. That separates those things and gets us down what's really in my heart. Because many times we've lost what's in our heart. And we made a list of things that we want, or made a list of Christmas lists. But you know what? It's like kids making Christmas lists. The worst thing that happens to a kid, it doesn't happen anymore because they don't do it like this anymore. Worst thing that happened to me every Christmas is in the mail, here comes this doggone catalog. Every Christmas, here in the fall, here comes that stupid catalog. And this catalog, I'm looking through it, I see all this junk, and I want this. I'm circling everything and pinning all those pages down. I don't need all that stuff, and really wasn't thinking about it until I saw it in the catalog. So somebody's believing God for stuff and walking past it because you done been looking in the catalog a little too long and you want something, you think you want something you saw when it ain't what you really wanted. We backed it quiet again, y'all. What happened? All right. I'm going to believe God that was what we needed to talk about today. Delight ourselves in the Lord. Align ourselves with God, and He will grant to us the desires of our heart. Okay? Yeah, let's do this. Let's go to John 15 real quick. We'll read the first four verses of that real quick. John 15, 1 through 4. John 15, 1 through 4. And we'll close out with this. In John 14, Jesus talks about, in my Father's house are many mansions. And we just read portions of that. Then John 15, he says, I'm the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Three important things here. Number one, the vine is where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be connected to God. Number two, I want you to look at your neighbor and say this. Neighbor, you are clean because of the word that Jesus speaks to you. You know what that means? That means that there's no condemnation in your life. That means if you live with any guilt whatsoever, you need to come right back to this word and you need to recognize you're clean not because you did the right thing. You're clean because He's speaking a word to you. He's speaking a word of cleansing and healing to you. So if you've made mistakes, you made errors, you had faults and false faults, whatever it is, you need to say, I'm clean because of the word that He spoke to me. Not performance. Clean because He speaks to you. And the third thing is, you cannot bear fruit unless you're connected to Him. You can't be fruitful unless we're aligned. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We love you. We honor you right now. We exalt your name. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Lord. Glory to God. Somebody's getting cleaned right now. They're thinking about that word right now. They're being cleansed. Hallelujah. They're entering a new level of faith because we're being cleaned. Enemy's not going to allow to let us stumble over that anymore. Over guilt. Hallelujah. I will exalt you. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you. Hallelujah. Praise you. Father, search every heart. Bring healing wherever it needs to go. We thank you right now for your word, multiplying, strengthening, encouraging everyone in the room. And we thank you that right now as we pray and we declare that you are bringing all that's required. Build our faith, Lord. Strengthen our faith. Lift our faith right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. For your word is truth. I thank you that your word will not fail, but your word will prosper in the hearts and minds of everyone here. Let the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Reveal to every person in here the desires that you have for them right now. Lord, we thank you for aligning our desires with what you have for us, Lord God, that we might walk in your way and receive the truth that you have for us. We give you praise for all these things right now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Will you stand on your feet for just a minute? We're a little over scheduled today, but we believe God did some things. So what I'd like to do now is that if you're here today and you need prayer for anything, okay, if you're a person that was dealing with guilt or dealing with something else, and you need just want somebody to be in agreement with prayer for you, if you were in the service today and there was healing that God did for any reason, anything we talked about earlier, feel free to come over. We have kind of our team on the side here. Feel free to come over, and we will pray with you. So I'd like everybody to lift your hands to the Lord really quickly here. Lift your hands.